Bokbanik is a remote, dusty village just a few miles from the Artibonite River that runs between Haiti and the Dominican Republic. On a Monday evening, right off the main square, a dozen youths are gathered, listening to music. Most of them refuse to speak with us. But away from the mic, one young woman tells us that tonight she'll cross the border, illegally. She's paid someone $50 to take her, though she won't say who. Seated on benches nearby are older adults and young children. The adults are grim-faced and silent, not in a mood to talk.
It's like this every Monday.
Local shopkeeper Maxine Etienne says every Monday cars wait on the other side to take these people to unauthorized jobs in the Dominican Republic. The trip is dangerous. Violent bandits and the Dominican army patrol the other side. But the migrants, says Etienne, are desperate.
Tout ça a été planté. Parfois, c'est trop plat, plus tout qu'on tombe, de l'eau passe et ravage jardin.
These people tell me that they do it because they have nothing. The government provides nothing for them. I sometimes cry when I see children taken out in the rain to cross the river.
Some of those children will be working too, in fields, shining shoes, selling trinkets on the tourist beaches. Even babies. The Dominican police have documented cases of trafficked infants loaned out to professional beggars. It's a ploy to stir pity and raise the daily take. Most of the children go willingly, accompanied by their parents. But not all. There's something fishy about some of the adults, says Etienne.
They say they are family members and you just have to accept it. But occasionally you can see, by the gestures of a child, that the person who is accompanying them is not really their mother.
Those adults are most likely people smugglers, known locally as buscones, who specialize in trafficking children across the border. There are few statistics about how many children are taken from Haiti to the Dominican Republic each year. Activists, government officials, and residents we speak to say the practice is common in remote border towns like this. Many are afraid to talk openly, partly out of fear of the gangs and partly because parents themselves are often involved, accomplices or dupes of the buscone.
When he wants to recruit people, he goes to them and promises all the beautiful things of the Dominican Republic for their children.
That's Wesner Apollon, a local police official who leads a task force against human trafficking.
He doesn't choose just any kids. He chooses the prettiest young girls, and he pretends that he's going to send them to school. And because the people are living in misery, they give them their child. And the buscón sends the child to the Dominican Republic, sometimes to be placed in domestic labor, other times in prostitution. The poorest are the most likely to be victims.
In the back of a car on a dark side street in the nearby city of Anche, a man tells us what happened to his niece 2 years ago. The family is from Bokbanik. He's asked us not to reveal her name or his own for fear of reprisals. We'll call him Jacques.
She was living with my older sister because her father was dead and her mother wasn't around. Then one day, while she was with my sister, a neighbor kidnapped her and he sold her to a guy in the Dominican Republic. A tiny sum of money, something like 10,000 gourds.
That's about $140. With no help from the police, the family began a frantic search for the child.
She had no access to a telephone. This was a planned kidnapping, and she was too young, too immature to resist.
Eventually, the family received information the girl was in Santo Domingo, the capital of the Dominican Republic.
My brother-in-law lived there, and he knew the city and went from neighborhood to neighborhood searching until he finally found her. The man had abused her, gotten her pregnant, and she wasn't even 16.
The river where the migrants will cross tonight doesn't look dangerous. Children play in the water, while a group of young men push inner tubes from bank to bank, shuttling the odd passenger or bag of merchandise from country to country. There's no sign of police or any officialdom at all, not even a do not cross sign. One of the boatmen is Augusto, an eager, amiable 15-year-old, fluent in Spanish and Creole. He makes a living taking people across the river. That often means sneaking people past the border patrols. As he talks, an older man watches on, then spits out furiously, "Keep talking to the white guy and I'll shoot you in the head." He puts a finger to his head and pretends to pull a trigger. Augusto shuts up. Beer and seafood flow at a beach just outside Santo Domingo. The country's beaches are notorious as centers for sexual tourism. Officials we spoke to say they have little evidence of Haitian children forced into prostitution. But I haven't been here 5 minutes when I meet a 10-year-old girl selling snacks. We chat in a mix of French, Spanish, and Creole. She tells me she's from Port-au-Prince. Then, when I look up, an enormous Dominican man is standing just behind me, glaring angrily. "What does he want?" I ask the girl. "Oh, he's in love with me," she says. Anti-trafficking advocates say kids who are the victims of sexual exploitation often won't admit it. They're afraid of being stigmatized by family and community. The law doesn't help much either. Jacques, the man whose niece was kidnapped, tells us that after finding her, the family filed a police complaint.
He was arrested, but they let him go again 4 months later. I don't know why.
Police records show the neighbor was released without being convicted, due to a lack of evidence, despite testimony from Jacques and his relatives. Human trafficking has only been classified a crime in Haiti since 2014. Despite dozens of cases, there has so far been only one conviction. Out in Bokbanik, it's a wonder any arrests are made at all. A pair of drunkards sit on the stoop of the town police station, listening to music and drinking rum. The station has been unstaffed and abandoned for years.
We're just left to ourselves here.
That's the shopkeeper, Maxen Etienne.
There is no security. There is a municipal police force, but that's not really police. They take care of little things like when an animal breaks into someone else's garden. As far as security goes, we're alone. There's no one.
That was the case with Jacques' niece. After her abductor was released, she was forced to leave town once again, this time for her own safety.